Discipline won't do it, because discipline relies on punishment, and there is no punishment the army can inflict on a frontline soldier worse than putting him on the front line. Except certain death. The Wehrmacht in Normandy, for example, had German sergeants standing behind foreign conscripts. A Pole in the Wehrmacht at Omaha Beach managed to be taken prisoner. At his interrogation, he was asked how the frontline troops stood up to the air and naval pounding. "Your bombs were very persuasive," he replied, "but the sergeant behind me with a pistol in his hand was more so." But the American Army didn't do things that way. One reason for this is what Glenn Gray calls the tyranny of the present in a foxhole. The past, and more important, the future, do not exist. He explains that there is more time for thinking and more loneliness in foxholes at the front than in secure homes, and time is measured in other ways than by clocks and calendars. To the soldier under fire who has reached his limit, even the most horrible army jail looks appealing. What matters is living through the next minute. Gray speculates that this is why soldiers will go on such extraordinary lengths to get souvenirs. At Braecourt Manor, Malarkey ran out into a field being raked by machine gun fire to get what he thought was a Luger from a dead German. In Holland on October 5th, as Webster was limping back to the rear in an open field under fire from a German 88, he spotted a German camouflage poncho, an ideal souvenir. He stopped to scoop it up. Gray explains the phenomenon. Primarily, souvenirs appeared to give the soldier some assurance of his future beyond the destructive environment of the present. They represented a promise that he might survive. It is almost impossible to think of anything but survival in a life-threatening situation, which accounts for the opposite phenomenon to souvenir grabbing. The soldier's casual attitude toward his own possessions, his indifferent attitude toward money. In campaigns of extreme hazard, Gray writes, soldiers learn more often than civilians ever do that everything external is replaceable, while life is not. What is not replaceable is the esteem of comrades. But to the replacement soldier just arrived, there is no comradeship, so there is nothing to hold him to his post. Gray tells the story of a deserter he found in a woods in France in November 1944. The lad was from the Pennsylvania mountains. He was accustomed to camping out. He had been there a couple weeks and intended to stay until the war ended. "All the men I knew and trained with have been killed or transferred," the deserter explained.